I'll miss you, kiss you, give you my coat when you are cold, need you, feed you. I'll even let you hold the remote control. But don't even think about changing the channel or else you'll miss this brand new romantic episode. And yes, I do in fact talk to Billy that way.
Right!
Hello and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. This is a podcast where we'll take a look at everything the memorable decades of the 1980s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. If you're new to the show, be excited that you found us and just don't hide it, as you are about to have an awesome time. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it is great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a man who can definitely feel the love tonight, as he was known in high school, Mr. Romance. It is, of course, Rob.
Right. Me, Mr. Romance. Yep. That's funny. On behalf of Dave and I want to take this time to declare our love for all of our listeners out there, since this is coming out around the time of Valentine's. Yeah. Dave and I love you more with every breath, truly, madly, deeply. Here's our commitment. We will be strong. We will be faithful because we're counting on three things: a new beginning, a reason for living, and a deeper meaning. And when the stars are shining brightly in the velvet sky, here's what Dave and I will do. First, Dave and I will make a wish. Second, we will send it to heaven. Well, then that wish will make you want to cry the tears of joy. Oh. Yeah. And you might be thinking right now, wherever you're listening to this podcast, you might be thinking, Rob, why would your wish make me want to cry tears of joy? Well, your tears of joy, you will cry tears of joy for the pleasure and the certainty that we are surrounded by the comfort and protection of the highest powers.
Eh? Inspirational.
Pretty good. That seemed obvious. Here's what Dave and I know. We know that in lonely hours, the tears devour you. We know that you don't have to close your eyes because it's standing right before you and it is the thing you need. And that thing you need will surely come. If you walk away from today's episode hearing nothing, hear this. We will be your dream. We will be your wish. We will be your fantasy. We will be your hope. We will be your love. We will be everything that you need. We will love you more with every breath, truly, madly, deeply. Above everything else, Dave and I want you to know this. We want to stand with you on a mountain. We want to bathe with you in the sea. We want to lay like this forever until the sky falls down on us.
Ah. That's a solid opening. Creepy. A lot of tears in there. It sounds like.
Yeah.
You could say it's a savage opening.
Oh. Well done.
Look at that guy.
Well done.
Happy Valentine's Day. As the debut of this episode, everyone's favorite holiday is a mere 24 hours away. So if you haven't made that reservation yet or purchased a gift for that special someone, you're cutting it a little close. So you might want to get on that. Mm-hmm. And for all of you out there not celebrating this holiday, because some people just hate it, enjoy it just being February 14th, the normal Wednesday, and look forward to the markdown candy at the store on February 15th. Yeah, so yeah. If you're looking for more romantic episodes, if you go back to this time last year, episode 6 and 7 of our podcasts, we had 80s love songs and 90s romantic comedies.
Yes.
Great episodes for that. So you can really front load all these Valentine's Day type specials.
That was the episode with our significant others.
With our wives, yeah. Yes. They were possibly going to be on this year.
And we couldn't convince
them. Couldn't convince them. They're not as excited about being on air as you and I are.
They're a little bashful.
Apparently.
A little shy.
They're not bashful any other time. So I don't know what happened there, but that's fine. Well, hey, how many people do you think propose marriage on Valentine's Day?
Ooh, I was looking at some stats and a lot. I think it's probably the number one day that people make.
Almost.
Is it almost?
Yes.
What would be the other
one?
It is.
Okay. I'm looking at my stats. Yeah, sure. Right. So it says 36% of people say Valentine's Day is the most romantic time of the year to propose, running just ahead of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Oh, okay. So, that makes sense.
But- Yeah, just ahead of those. Christmas is one of those romantic times too. Mm-hmm. So,
when did you propose to your wife? Was it a special day?
No.
No, just a random.
It was like a Tuesday. she hates our proposal, so she doesn't want to. She was just in the kitchen.
I think it was a Tuesday.
I think it was. I think I was literally headed to class, and it was like a between before I leave class. You know, I'm like, this ring's burning a hole in my pocket. And she was just in the kitchen, and she's not happy that that's the story.
Yeah, I don't think my wife's. I think I proposed to her in the house in a bedroom or something.
No,
see, it wasn't cool.
It wasn't like one of those. No, they're not writing a movie about it.
Nope.
Well, that's too bad.
No, yeah, that's all right.
I could embellish and make it a movie.
Yeah,
we're in the kitchen. It was romantic. No, it was bad. I failed. I should have done something better. So
you waited outside her window with a boombox.
Well, we lived in the same place, so me outside the window would have been weird.
That would.
She's like, "Why don't you just come in?" No, didn't make sense. So,
what are you doing out there? That's cool.
Well, I propose we let our fans know what it is we're covering for this week's topic.
So this week we are looking at '90s love songs, Volume 2. So it's our second. Our second whack at whack. 90s love songs.
And this should be a better sounding whack.
Yeah. That's true. Because our first one was it was our first one that we tried to do remotely. And we had some audio. We were figuring things out.
Yeah. So, it was like our eighth episode overall. Mm-hmm. We were just podcasting babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds like a show. Podcast babies. I'm stealing a song at that point. That's fine. Yeah. So,
But I will, about that episode, we've talked about this, that I, audio problems be damned.
Yeah.
The content
it's really
is solid. Yeah. We were really proud of the content.
You know, I always laugh at myself, but I laughed at myself a little bit more on that one. So that's fine. I think it turned out good other than some of the audio. So, but as Rob said, this is part two of our Valentine's Day episodes. Last week we gave you 80s power ballads as one version of love songs for our Gen X and millennial crowd. And any other generation, we welcome everyone. But you know, they would have more memories of some of those songs.
Oh, sure.
This is Volume 2, as you said. This time last year, we cut Volume 1. We talked about that. It's still good, so I recommend going and listening to it. So this week, we're jumping back into the 1990s to see what love sounded like. For Gen Xers like Rob and I, the 90s are high school and college years, or perhaps. Am I fancy? I don't know what that is. Or perhaps, for some of our older Gen X listeners, they're already out of college. Yeah. Maybe they're in the workforce. Yeah. So a lot of what we play today formed the soundtrack for many of us to express ourselves to those that we loved during that time.
This is true.
It is true.
That was my lens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know, you might be, I'll get ahead of myself here, but you had some pretty strict parameters.
Yes.
Like we didn't each get the whole decade.
We'll give them the parameters.
Okay.
All right. I've got parameters. Oh, okay. All right. I have to give you parameters. Otherwise, even with those parameters, I'm sure it'll still go off the rails, but that's fine. So. But I'm just going to assume several of these songs that we're going to play today. Let me rephrase. Several of the songs I'm going to play today made it onto some mixtapes. I would say made it to some basement boy-girl parties. Even helped some of you through heartbreak in the aftermath of a breakup, right? Yeah. So knowing all that, Rob, what were you looking for when you picked your songs for this week?
No, I think that's accurate. I looked at so I got the later half of the 90s.
So we'll lay out the parameters. Yeah. Parameters are, we're going to give you a sampling of the whole decade of love songs. I took the early 90s. So I've got from 1990 to 1994.
Yes.
So my songs will all come from those 5 years. Mm-hmm. And Rob got 1995 to 1999.
Yeah. So I looked at songs that would have been on a mixtape. Absolutely. Yeah. And most of these were either on a mixtape or were had some.
Just a preface, on a Rob mixtape. Not on what we would call a general mixtape.
That's true. Yeah.
So it'll be like the fourth song on those albums, right? Well, it wasn't technically released as a single, but you know.
No, I stay pretty close to the top here. I don't get too deep.
Yeah, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had our albums episode, our 92 albums, and you got some comments on those. You did well with some, interesting with those, but you had some interesting albums.
Yeah.
To which your wife even said what?
She said, why didn't you pick some normal normal albums?
Did she feel that I picked normal albums?
I don't know, because I don't know what normal.
I don't know, to her and was, I don't know. Is your wife a big Alice in Chains?
No, I tried to explain to her that it was a difficult. It's more difficult when we're drafting albums.
Yeah,
because they're you're limited.
Yeah,
there wasn't a slew of great albums. No, there were some really key ones, and I knew you were going to get them or want them, and so I had to play.
Well, that's good.
But I'm at a point. I'm getting to a point on the podcast.
No, don't get to that
point. No, I'm getting to a point on the podcast. But I'm going to pick what I like.
I know, and that's what
I'm going to pick. What good. I like.
That's what the listeners want.
I'm not going to pick what you like.
I know,
or what my wife likes, or what all y'all out there want. I'm going to pick what I like. And
so, just to recap for our listeners that take time out of their day to listen to this, I'm not going to pick anything anyone else would like or want to listen to. I'm just going to pick what I like. That's really how we sell the show.
That's right.
you're doing a great job.
All right.
So, well,
I
what
don't care?
Well, what did Valentine's Day look like in the 90s? I can only speak from my experience. So, since I was in high school in the early 90s, I saw a lot of heart things taped to lockers.
Yeah.
Flowers and balloons being delivered to high school.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure our local Olive Garden across from Clackamas Town Center was bumping. Yeah. Of young lovers.
Yes.
Because nothing says I love you like unlimited breadsticks. Yeah. Yep.
That was
another big deal for anyone young listening to this show were notes. Oh. Notes had to be folded in this secret origami shape. So it took like you're defusing a bomb to get this thing open, right?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, they contain critical information. And in fact, for you younger folks, basically it would ask questions. It's like the texts of today. Mm-hmm. Imagine a written version of text messages, but delivered by hand or slipped through those little vents in your locker. So you get a surprise.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a surprise like that?
Yeah. I was thinking this is going to sound dumb, but like, there was a feeling, right? Like there were certain people. If I got a note from, it was like,
they took time to write that to you.
Yeah. And that was different, right?
And how'd we do with those? Did we approach those notes with the same amount of riz that we approached phone numbers in our yearbooks?
Yeah. Yeah. My response back was probably not as.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm like, that's cool.
Cool.
All right.
They stop you in the hallway. Did you get my note? Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
I'll see you later.
Noted. I look back later and go, she wanted a reply.
Yes, a reply would have been nice.
Oh, man.
Because once you're out of elementary and junior high, the yes-no boxes go away. Yeah. You have to physically write something back. So that's what needed to happen.
Yeah, when I was in junior high, I dated a gal. Well, whatever junior high looks like when you're dating.
It's a good date.
And you'd have passing time, right? And, in my brain, you got to get to class.
Yeah, it's important.
And so I get to class, and everybody else is hanging out during passing time, and
you're in class.
I was like the guy from Field of Dreams. I couldn't cross the line, or else something would happen. So I was I remember standing in the doorway while she was in the hallway wanting to converse. I'm sorry.
So now
it is clearly math time.
So now, as an educator, now that you've grown up and become an educator, do you understand why that teacher's in the classroom? Like, why are you in here right now?
And I'm sure
I would have been like, five minutes to myself.
The heck out.
These are my 5 minutes. And
go make out by the lockers. Yes. Gee whiz.
No. Well,
I'm sorry. I can't. It is 3 minutes till class time. He got his
pen and paper out. Some great gift ideas then. Remember those candy hearts? They had little sayings on them. They were a little chalky, but they're pretty memorable. Another option would have been a heart-shaped chocolate box from perhaps Russell Stover.
Yes.
Or an array of chocolates from a Whitman's sampler. Oh. So now in the mid-90s, after graduating high school, I do have a Valentine's Day story from my time in Japan. So, so when I was over there, Chris and I, we went to the store on base and we bought like a couple hundred of those little kid Valentine's, you know, Winnie the Pooh, Mickey Mouse, whatever they had, Barbie. Mm-hmm. And then we took them all back and we just wrote from love Dave and Chris on all of them.
Yeah.
And then Valentine's morning, it fell on a weekend. We got up at like 7 a.m. and people had been out the night before everything. We went door to door and we had heart t-shirts on and we'd knock and then they'd answer the door and we'd hand them a Valentine's, two dorms worth. We were handing these things out and we got some thank yous.
I was going to say, now some of these people didn't know you. Okay.
But we went to every door. Yeah. So we got some thank yous. we got some door slammed right back in our face. And then we just put it under the door. You're still getting it. We got some, what the F are you doing?
Yeah.
You woke me up for this. Just some blank stares.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do with this? Is what they said. Right. So, but we handed them out to every person in the dorm.
Nice.
And we wished them a Valentine's Day.
That's very, very festive, very nice. Thoughtful.
I thought
very
it was thoughtful. Nice of us. Yeah. Right.
That was very good.
It's not all about ourselves.
Yeah.
In this situation. Yeah.
I remember when I discovered, because in the later part of the 90s, I was driving and I had an income. I was working. Ooh, yes. And so I could afford things. So then I remember finding the florist and discovering that girls like
flowers. It took you to the late 90s to figure that out.
Yeah. The funny thing is then I get married and my wife's not a big flower person.
Yeah.
I remember getting her a dozen roses and she was like, why did you spend that much money on a dozen roses?
They're
She's like, we could have done a lot of things whatever, $100 for.
And you say to her, how about thank you?
Yeah.
Let's just go with that, right?
That's why we don't buy cards for each other anymore. We don't even do cards anymore.
Cards are always weird. I always like
$5 for a card. We're going to go open it and go, okay, thank you.
I mean, cards are nice. Yeah. I like the sentiment, but then I get a card. It reminds me of that Seinfeld episode. Elaine got a card and she goes, or Jerry got a card. One of the two. And they go, how long do I have to keep this?
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, what's the rule on this? A week? Do I have to set it out somewhere? Only when they come over? Like, I don't know. Yeah. So no,
we don't even do cards for each other.
So we still do cards from time to time. Yeah. So, and Laurel's mom likes cards.
No, does she?
And I appreciate when she gives. She gives us nice cards.
See, my Aunt Carol, she's really good about it. Every birthday, she's great.
Great.
And we don't do that.
Well, that's good. So, all right. Well, I swear you're not going to want to miss a thing as we look back at our favorite 90s love songs, Volume 2. All right, fans, before you ask that perfect person to go steady or arrange a much-needed booty call on this Valentine's Day, take 1 second and hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already to ensure that you never miss any episodes, Totally 80s and 90s Recall. Then once you're done absorbing all of the love this week, share this show with a friend or lover. Because if you do, Rob and I will make sure that we complete them by showing them Totally 80s and 90s Recall has nothing but the Riz.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like how you're using the new lingo. It's in the dictionary. Yeah.
We are what the kids call Rizosauruses.
Nobody says that. That's really great, though. Rizosaurus.
I like it.
That's
awesome. We're a Rizosaurus at this point, right?
I love it.
All right, Rob. Go ahead. What do you got?
Can I share something real quick? Before we get into the song.
You can always share.
So the songwriter master's program at Berklee Online give some pointers in regards to writing love songs.
Oh, nice.
So as we're sharing our songs, we can kind of, the listeners can think through this set of rubric or this rubric. Okay. So number one, they say stay away from cliches. So avoid overusing lyrics like, I can't take my eyes off you. You're the one for me. We belong together, and never rhyme love with above.
I like it.
They're like, don't do that. Okay. Keep it authentic.
Has no one ever done that?
Well, but they're saying this doesn't make a great song if you do. Keep it authentic. Draw upon authentic feelings of times you have felt in love. Alejandro, a Grammy and Latin Grammy nominated songwriter, says, quote, love songs resonate most when the experience and emotion being conveyed are felt in the performance.
Yes.
Okay. Number three, borrow a lyrical theme. So their article says every well-written focused lyric can be summarized in one sentence. And they use the example of My Girl by The Temptation. And they talk about how when you read the lyrics, in short, this is a song about a person who makes the hard times bearable. So does it have a theme, right, running through it?
Yes.
Create characters. Number four, does the song play out like a play, a movie, or a television show? So they encourage their young songwriters to write it as a screenplay or a play, right? Like a script or a screenplay. For example, they reference Taylor Swift's new album, how she's kind of moved to more of a storyteller type deal. And then last, think about perspective. And they said love songs need to feel intimate. The most intimate love songs are those written what's called direct access. And that's like I, you, or present tense. And they said perspective is the difference between I will always love you.
Oh.
She will always love you. Barbara will always love you.
Or Sting will always love you.
Or Barbara Hummel.
Oh, yeah.
Barbara Hummel. Yeah. And we will always love you. So the different perspectives can give the song a different flavor. So as we're reading them today, we can talk about cliches. Is it authentic? Does it have a theme? Are there characters?
And I got
does
themes.
It, perspective.
Yeah, I got so. Themes.
You got so. Themes.
Well, that is a great explanation of love songs. I didn't know any of that stuff. Yeah, I so. Didn't either. But with that, ask me why I'm so excited today, Rob.
Why are you excited? I don't want to. It's like pulling your finger.
There it is.
I don't want to.
Well, we've said several times before that a certain group of songs is our favorite. A certain playlist is our favorite. And in reality, that's like a moving goalpost because we do more shows. However, I really do think this is my favorite list I've compiled. I've been so excited all week to play this list. Yes.
And we've had some good ones lately.
We have. But I really like this. My different styles and group of genres just really makes a complete array of love songs that I think a lot of our listeners are really going to appreciate. And it represents so many types of music from the early 90s.
Wow.
So I didn't lock in on just one kind of thing.
Okay.
I did, as you like to say, I did a little extra study on this. I do a lot of study for you folks. I'm not like Rob.
But you do like the love song.
I do. They're my favorite. But outside of rock, it's probably my favorite next group of songs.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's good.
So,
that's good.
Well, as Rob alluded to, we want to give you all a total, and just to remind you, a total idea of what the 90s had to offer in the way of love songs. So Rob and I split up the decade. As I said, I'm doing the early 90s, 90 to 94. And since Rob is the late bloomer on this team, all of his songs will be from 95 to 99. This will give us a great sampling of the entire decade for everyone to enjoy. So with our parameters in place, Rob, I am not a smart man, but maybe your number 7 song can show me what love is.
Oh, wow. All right. Here we go. My number 7.
7. That's good. You said I wasn't going to like anything.
You like this one?
It's good.
Okay.
It's not great, but I can listen to it and appreciate it. It's a little sappy, but I like it when it's sappy.
Yeah. I've got a good mix, sappy, some not sappy.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't hit the big.
That was a crescendo part there.
It could have really paid off for you. Yeah. You got to get better with your timing.
And this is from 99.
99.
Yeah, so I've got into I tried to kind of.
Oh, I know you will.
Yeah, yeah. So this is I Could Not Ask for More from Edwin McCain.
Edwin McCain.
Yeah.
I like that other song you did too.
Yeah. He's got a couple of them. Composed by American songwriter Diane Warren.
She's
come up
again.
On this show several
she's
times.
Back again.
Okay. But I wanted to take it to we've talked about her, but we didn't really kind of go into a deep dive. I don't want to go into a deep dive, but Warren has composed 9 number one and 33 top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot 100.
Yeah. She's good.
Here's just a few. These are like the list is so Rhythm of the Night, DeBarge. Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now, Starship. Look Away, Chicago.
Beautiful.
If I Could Turn Back Time, Cher. When I See You Smile, Bad English. Blame It on the Rain, Millie Vanilli. Don't Turn Around, Ace of Base. Unbreak My Heart, Toni Braxton.
Love it.
How Do I Live, Leanne Rimes. And I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
Those are just a few.
Yeah, she's good.
This was released in February of 99 by Edwin McCain. McCain is a longtime touring friend with Woohoo. Do you know?
Edwin McCain's a longtime touring friend with who?
Yeah, touring friends with which band?
Oh.
Hootie.
Oh, Hootie.
Yeah, that's how he got to start. Yeah, he's big. Nice. He was with Hootie, and that's how it kind of propelled him. It's from the soundtrack from 1999's romantic drama, The Message in a Bottle.
Oh.
Starring Kevin Costner, Robin Wright Penn, and Paul Newman. Also on his album, Messenger. Became a Billboard charted top 40 single in the summer of 99, covered in 2001 by American country music artist Sarah Evans.
Ooh.
Her version went to number 2.
It sounds a little country-ish
if I listen to it. Here's some of the lyrics. Lying here with you, listening to the rain, smiling just to see the smile upon your face. And these are the moments I thank God that I'm alive.
Oof.
And these are the moments I'll remember all my life. It keeps going. Did you know St. Valentine's Day wasn't just one person?
Mm.
Hey. You may already know that Valentine's Day was named after its patron saint, Saint Valentine's, but there are two choices that they think historically it could be. One, it could be a priest in the 3rd century Rome that defied Emperor Claudius's ban on marriage. He thought it distracted young soldiers, illegally marrying couples in the spirit of love until he was caught and sentenced to death. Mm-hmm. Or it could have been a gentleman that was killed for attempting to help Christians escape prison in Rome, and that he actually sent the first Valentine's message himself while imprisoned, writing a letter signed "From Your Valentine."
Wow.
So we don't know.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway, so Edwin McCain.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right, good.
Good start.
Nice.
I'm sure
we'll I was pick expecting some other a little more.
No.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Edwin McCain? Right. Well, my number 7 goes 190,000 degrees the other direction. It is not subtle and maybe my most controversial song. Ooh. I put on my list, but still a great Valentine's song from my perspective.
Ooh, perspective.
Perspective. Was 6 o'clock on the Swatch
watch. No time to chill. Got a date. I love it. The girl is going to do me. Nice. To the jacuzzi. Yeah. Oh, that's my favorite. Smack it up, flip it, rub it down. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I get the...
Yeah, you went more...
You hear that note?
So did you go more...
Oh, no, I have everything.
You do. Okay.
You need to settle in and just be ready.
Because I actually texted you.
Yes.
And I said, hey, do you have any booty jams? And you're like, it's fair game.
It's fair game. So buckle up because it's going to go this way. All right. So for anyone who doesn't know, this is Do Me by Belle Biv DeVoe. It isn't all love and flowers on this great holiday. Sometimes there's this kind of action too. And this is most definitely a booty jam, which of course, Rob, we know is a thing, right? This song was released June of 1990 in the New Jack Swing style. Yeah. It peaked at number 3 on the US Hot 100, number 3 in Canada, number 8 in New Zealand. So BBD was helping people do it all over the world. Nice. This was the 11th best single on the Billboard chart for all of 1990. And I read that according to Billboard, the song is about sex.
Oh. Really?
I was shocked to find that out, but they in fact wrote it right in there for me. So I'm glad they cleared that up. The song spent a total of 22 weeks on the Billboard charts. Exactly the same amount was what seemed to be a bigger hit of Poison. So Poison and Do Me, same amount of time on the Billboard charts, and both hit number 3. Wow. This has been covered by Weird Al, popped up in movies and TV in the following years, and coined epic 90s phrases like slap it up, flip it, rub it down. Oh, no. Unfortunately, there are some questionable lyrics over. one section says, backstage, underage, adolescent, how you doing? Fine. She replied, I sighed. I like to do the wild thing. Ricky Bell was interviewed about this.
What did he say?
He said Busta Rhymes contributed the verse to them, and they knew it was controversial, but they thought it sounded good, and it in no way spoke any truth to their behavior while on tour. So that part of the song probably hasn't aged well, but for the 90s kids, Do Me is still quite the memorable booty jam.
Wow. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Slap it, solid flip stuff. That would have been a good one for Yo-Yo Ma.
Oh, that would have. Yeah. That's okay.
The whole backstage.
Underage. Adolescence, a little creepy. Yeah. But I'll be honest to say, even in 1990, I'm 14.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that part and going, But then, you know, there's other songs like She's Only 17.
Yeah.
Daddy says she's too young, but she's... So Belle Biv DeVoe wasn't the first one to wade into that pool.
No.
That controversial pool.
And the thing is, in their defense, nobody stopped. No. It's not like anybody said,
it went to number 3 on the charts.
Let's rewrite that.
And the producers in the booth were like, yeah, that's fine.
That's good.
It's good. We'll take that.
Print.
Yeah.
That's a wrap.
All right. Okay.
All right. My number six is we're going to go the other direction.
I love it.
Yeah. We're
another super love song?
No.
Oh, okay. I can't get enough. Ah, the duo. And if you wonder, I had this CD.
Yeah.
I do like this.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good. I thought as the 90s went on, and particularly once he married Faith Hill, McGraw got a little too sappy with his songs.
Yeah.
I miss old Indian Outlaw with Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
But this is pretty good. Very memorable.
Yeah. By taking
your hand. So good. It's good. I like that.
Yeah. So this is It's Your Love, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, 1997. Recorded by Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, 97. I'm reading my notes redundantly. Reached number 1 on the Billboard Hot Country Songs. Mm. It also became McGraw's and Hill's first top 10 hit on the Billboard Hot 100, peaking at number 7. It's the first duet by a married couple to top the country chart. Then again, it happened 26 years later with Kane and Caitlin Brown's Thank God. In 2023.
No.
It's okay. I'm not a big Kane Brown fan. Everybody thought these. Okay. Yeah. Hill was pregnant with the couple's oldest daughter.
Yeah, I think you can see it in the video.
Yeah. So it's no slouch of a song. Yeah. So Academy of Country Music Award that got Single of the Year, Song of the Year, Video of the Year, Vocal Event of the Year. For the CMAs, it got Vocal Event of the Year. For Grammys, it was nominated for Best Country Collaboration and Best Country Song.
Did it win?
Nope, did not
win. Who did it lose to?
I don't know. 4 times platinum. Here's some of the lyrics. Like, oh, it's a beautiful thing. Don't think I can keep it all in. I just got to let you know what it is that won't let me go. It's your love.
Your love.
It just does something to me. It sends a shock right through me. I can't get enough. And if you wonder about the spell I'm under, oh, it's your love. I love it.
How about those two getting married? You got Tim McGraw, probably one of like the most handsome looking country guys. And then you got Faith Hill.
Yeah.
Like what happened there?
Yeah. Those kids don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
No. Right. Valentine's Day has its roots in an ancient pagan fertility festival called Lupercalia.
Nice.
It was celebrated on February 15th in ancient Rome, dedicated to Faunus and the Roman god of agriculture and Roman founders Romulus and Remus. The day was celebrated by sacrificing animals and smacking women with animal hides.
That's something.
A practice that was believed to encourage fertility. Mm. Did you smack your wife with an animal hide?
Yeah.
When it was time to make babies?
A beaver pelt.
Said, get over here.
Whack her upside the head. Let's go.
That sounds great.
Where are you getting access to a beaver pelt?
We live in Oregon, Rob. We live right next to Oregon. Literally the state animal.
Crap.
You can find them everywhere. All right. Well, that's a good one.
Right.
Good duo. I love duets too. Yeah, so can't go wrong there. Well, my number six, great song, which if you listen to the lyrics, has quite the weird message.
Okay.
But it's awesome. I love it. And I will forever sing my heart out to it.
Is this Heart? Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Again, real subtle.
Oh, yeah.
You really have to kind of dive into lyrics.
You got to figure it out.
You got to do a little, like, a word analysis. What is she saying?
What is she getting to?
Very good. Ooh. You like Heart.
I do like Heart.
They've come up a lot.
Come up quite a bit. So, this is All I Want to Do is Make Love to You by Heart.
Wow.
This was released March 12, 1990, and was a radio and top 40 mainstay, at least in the Portland area, I'm sure across the United States, because it hit number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, number 1 in Australia and Canada, and was top 5 in 6 other countries. It was actually a cover, but rearranged quite a bit by super producer Mutt Lange.
It was a cover?
It was.
Wow.
The song was nominated. Kind of a wild premise. The meaning of the song is a woman who wants to get pregnant, seduces a hitchhiker because the man in her life is infertile. So.
It does say that. It talks about picking. Yeah.
Yeah. Picked him up.
Yeah.
But it's so catchy. It's so damn catchy. Wow. Nobody even notices because the song later tells you like it's years later and he saw his own eyes and all these other things. She goes, but I'm in love with another man.
Hmm.
And she says something about, you gave me the one thing he couldn't give or something like that. Yeah. So the song was nominated for a Grammy, but lost to Linda Ronstadt, Aaron Neville. That's valid. The only one of Heart's singles to be certified gold and was Heart's last top 10 hit on the pop charts. Now, Ann Wilson has stated the band hates the song. And its message is hideous. So if you want to go, they did not want to do the song, but Mutt insisted and they caved in. It was originally written for Don Henley, which would have been weird, but okay. Yeah. It would have been a little creepier with Don Henley, you know, getting a surrogate or, I don't know. Or is he the hitchhiker? He's the hitchhiker, maybe.
He's the one she's using?
So we didn't go there. Anne has also said she's shocked by how many fans, particularly in Australia and New Zealand, really love hearing the song, although they don't play it any longer due to Anne's hate for it. But it gets requested at all their concerts.
Wow.
So
they don't play it at concerts? Or they do?
Anne doesn't want to play it.
Doesn't want to play it.
She's not in the mood. Since like 2019, I think in the last couple of years, she's come around to do it a few times. But again, message hideous.
All right. So, okay.
But I love it.
That's good.
I hear it. Imagine a 13, 14-year-old kid just belting out, all I want to do is make love to you.
Yeah. It's a Wonderful Life. We always laugh when George Bailey is down in the living room and trying to make out with her. And he's making wild love to me, mother. Anyway, like that was the Donna definition Reed. Of making love.
Donna Reed was so sassy.
He kissed me.
She was sassy.
Well, yeah. He's making wild love to me.
Yep.
Anyway. All right.
Be quiet. Okay. Just be quiet, Mary. Just be quiet, Mary.
I'm going to grab the moon, see? And I'm going to. Anyway.
Just be quiet, Mary. Right.
I'm sorry. That's awful. Okay. Insert.
Insert.
Insert your hate for this song.
Already?
Already.
You already know?
Just get ready.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Let's go.
You do hate it.
That's bad. I really hate this one.
You do.
I don't like the Spanish guitar influence. I don't like any of this.
I like it.
I already don't like Bryan Adams, but then this weird Spanish turny.
Yeah. All right. I didn't write it all down, but a lot of the reviews felt like you did. People were like, yeah.
I feel vindicated today. I'm not the only BA hater on the planet.
No.
That's pretty good. I don't know what your definition of good is. I hate that guitar. What is he doing? Wasn't this for like a Don Markham? It was for some movie, right?
Hey, look at you.
And I think you may tell us, but I think disgustingly, it may have been like nominated for an Oscar or some crap too. okay. Not going to be happy about any of that.
And here we go. Have you ever really loved a woman? That's Bryan Adams, 1995.
What kind of question is that? And who is he asking this question to?
Yeah.
Just random people on the tour bus? Hey, bro.
Do you love a woman?
Have you ever really loved a woman?
What about you?
Shut up, Brian.
Yeah. It was co-written by Bryan Adams. Recorded by Adams for the 1995 film Don Juan DeMarco, starring Marlon Brando, Johnny Depp, and Faye Dunaway. It was number one for 5 weeks in the Billboard Hot 100.
That's
5 weeks. It was up the top there.
What is going on?
It was nominated for Best Original Song at the 68th Academy Awards, but lost to Colors of the Wind from Disney's animated film Pocahontas.
I don't know if that's better, so maybe it's just a bad year for songs.
Yeah. So here's some of the lyrics. To really love a woman, to understand her, you got to know her deep inside, hear every thought, see every dream, and give her wings when she wants to fly. Then when you find yourself lying helpless in her arms, you know you really love a woman. When you love a woman, you tell her that she's really wanted. When you love a woman, you tell her that she's the one, because she needs somebody to tell her that it's going to last forever. So tell me, have you ever really, 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 three times?
Really, really.
Ever loved a woman?
Really, really, really sucks.
There you go.
I really hate the line. What is it? Something deep inside? I don't like that.
Yeah, it does.
That's not good.
Yeah. Did you know? Valentine's Day officially became a holiday in the 1300s.
I like it.
At the end of the 5th century, a Roman pope officially declared the date of February 14th, St. Valentine's Day. It wasn't until the Middle Ages, though, that the holiday became associated with love and romance, a tradition that was first started from the common belief in France and England that birds started their mating season on February 14th.
That's wonderful.
There you go. So you can thank the birds.
Can thank the birds. Yep. And we can forget about Bryan Adams for a second. So
yeah, that's all right.
That's a bad one. You know, I can handle some Bryan Adams, but that might be the worst Bryan Adams song, actually.
So. And I'm fully expecting we're going to get people going, Bryan Adams, waste of a vote, waste of a spot. I mean, I don't care.
Is what it is.
I like it.
You're fine. Well, my number five is a second Booty Jam submission for this countdown, and you are going to like this, unless I don't know you at all.
Yeah.
Oh, it is Jodeci.
Ooh. Is this Come and Talk to Me?
It is.
Yes.
Yes. You hear this? Oh, yeah. I like this part right here.
Oh, they break it down.
Talk to me, baby. This is great.
How's this not your number one?
It's number five. It's going to get better. Don't you worry.
What album? Well, you're going to probably tell us. Is this Diary of a Mad Band?
I don't have the album. I'll let you have that. Use your Google machine. You can figure that out.
The old Google machine.
Well, as Rob spoiled it already, this is Come and Talk to Me by Jodeci. Jodeci dropped this memorable hit in March of 1992. Hit number 11 on the U.S. Hot 100, but number one on the U.S. Hot R&B hip hop charts. I couldn't find any other charts showing it, so hopefully the rest of the world was able to get down to Jodeci, because if not, I feel bad. It's a great song. The song was written by Al B. Schuer and Devante Swing. It was the fourth single released off the album. This song is indicative to me of that early 90s R&B sound, and Jodeci just gives me, as I said at the beginning, Booty Jams vibes, which we know are a thing. Some interesting lyrics in here. The song seems to be about a guy noticing and longing for a girl to also notice and talk to him. It's a little stocky, I think, if I really listen to it. Some samples of lyrics are, I wish I could grab you. I'm a single man. I hope you are single too. Been watching you, baby, for a long time. Mm. And I've been watching you for a long time. But in the end, the vibe and musical arrangement is fantastic and will definitely put you and that person of interest in some kind of mood.
All right. Yeah, it sounds a little desperate. Yeah. It was on the album Forever My... Forever My Lady.
Forever My Lady.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And that was 92.
No.
I feel like for our 92 albums, for such a Jodeci fan, that could have been in a possible selection that you may have just overlooked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
can think of at least four spots that could have gone in.
Diary of a Mad Band was the album for me.
Oh, anyway, okay.
And then they had one that was called the show, the after party or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway. You're going to like this one.
Oh, number four.
I'm going to earn back totally redeem myself
from the trash selection before.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
We like it. This is the best.
Yeah. Looking sexy.
You know how many kids are alive today because of this song?
I was going to say, we didn't talk about that at the beginning, that how many people are listening to this podcast were born as a result of one of these songs.
Thankful for this song.
This could have been one of them.
This is definitely a song.
This was on a mixtape. I know it was.
I used this song to my advantage.
He has a few on this whole album.
Oh, yeah. The whole album's great.
Yeah, it got it's Twisted.
Keith. It's Keith.
Twisted.
One.
Yeah, I toyed with that one. So this is Nobody, Keith Sweat, 1996.
Yes.
American singer-songwriter Keith Sweat, released 96, features Athena Cage and from the band Cut Close. I did a little research on them. I don't know who they are.
Cut Close, help me.
They're an American R&B trio that formed in Atlanta, Georgia. The members were discovered by singer Keith Sweat, who also produced their debut album. This song spent 3 weeks at number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot R&B singles and reached number three on the Billboard Hot 100. The music video for the single featured a young Mekhi Phifer.
Ooh, I like it.
There you go. Athena and Keith take turns asking the following questions.
Yes.
Who can love you like me?
Nobody.
Who can sex you like me?
Nobody.
Who can treat you like, treat you like me now, baby? And who can do it like me?
No.
And who can give you what you need?
Mm-hmm.
Who can do you all night long?
I like that part.
Who can lay you down just like me?
Mm-hmm.
Who can kiss you all over your body, baby? Answer, nobody.
Oh, Keith Sweat. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Did you know that the National Retail Foundation, based on their data, Americans spend nearly $26 billion on Valentine's Day gifts. That was in 2023. People were also expected to spend an average of approximately $193 for Valentine's Day.
That feels like a lot.
I'm just going to go and say, honey, I'm not spending $200. I'm sorry. Maybe on dinner.
Hey, when you tell her you're not going to spend $200 on dinner, then come out and show her all this stuff and say, I'm not buying you
that's
anything.
That's so true.
There you
when
go.
She sees the Amazon truck roll down, she goes, what did you buy?
Like, don't worry about it. When you're listening to your priceless record collection, no soup for you.
Yeah.
That's what
Meanwhile,
happens.
Let's just put something in the crock pot.
That's right.
I'm not taking you out.
All right. Well, my number four is maybe one of the sexiest songs of the 1990s. And I think you're going to like it, Rob. Everybody likes it.
Wow. I did not see you going this direction.
Oh, yeah.
The video, though.
Oh, yes.
This was a young man's
dream.
Wet dream.
Hell yeah.
Holy cow. Sorry.
I love it.
I apologize. No one's going to hear that.
No, she's going to
be here right now, putting her makeup, going, Robert.
Look, we all grew up. We know what those are.
It was a thing.
It was a thing.
This video was
a thing.
Who was the model in it?
I might have
to tell. You're going to tell. Okay. All right.
You always get so excited.
Yeah. All right. The video was alone.
Oh, yes. The video. Well, this is Wicked Game by Chris Isaak. I did slightly cheat this song onto my list as it was released in July of 89. However, it did not hit the chart at all until its appearance in the 1990 David Lynch movie Wild at Heart, starring friend of the show Nicolas Cage.
Wow.
It started climbing the Billboard charts throughout 1990, finally getting into the top 10 in 1991, hitting number 6 in the U.S. It also hit number 1 in Belgium and was a top 10 hit in 8 other countries. Critically acclaimed song. It is listed in the 2010 book 1001 Songs You Must Hear Before You Die and in the 1989 book The Heart of Rock and Soul, the 1001 Greatest Singles Ever Made. Critics describe the song as haunting, an aching vocal, a simmering atmospheric buzz, shimmering, smoky, and a moody masterpiece.
Wow.
One critic wrote, some songs are masterpieces, some represent moments in time, and others are simply good jams. Chris Isaak's Wicked Game checks all three boxes.
Wow.
And finally, a critic stated, which you're going to like, Rob, a song worthy of Roy Orbison in his heyday.
Wow.
It's probably best known, as you said, for the music video, which was shot in Hawaii and considered very erotic.
Yeah.
With Isaac and supermodel Helena Christensen on a beach. She's topless throughout the entire video.
That's right.
No pasties.
No pasties.
Straight up topless. Yeah. She's a supermodel. They were naked all the time. Yeah. I will admit, I was still am a fan of that video.
That's a good
finally,
one.
Isaac said the song is labeled as a ballad, but in fact, it is about a woman seeking to arrange a hookup and is about what happens when you have a strong attraction to people that aren't necessarily good for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there's a message.
Apparently.
I mean, it's almost like a PSA.
That's the Chris Isaac message. Yeah, but that's what made him kind of famous. Because after that, in the 90s, he was in some movies.
I was going to say, but he didn't, music-wise.
Musically, I mean, he put other albums out, but yeah. It's not things people go to a lot. But that's it. And I've heard a lot of people say that that's the song.
The song.
In fact, I have Kurt, our movie hound.
Yeah.
And his wife. When they got married, I had to drive her Saturn. Yes, she drove a Saturn.
Yeah.
I had to drive it to their lodge place or wherever they were staying the night after the wedding, mm-hmm. the night of the wedding. And I had a CD and I was instructed by personnel to have that song. So when the car turned on, Wicked Game kicked over. So, and I did it. Wow. I said it perfectly.
Okay. All right.
That was my job for the wedding. So
good job, Kurt.
Position the car.
So. All right. Where are we at? My number three.
Three.
You're gonna not like this one. That's okay. And discuss. Here we go. And I'll do for you. People that will like it.
A lot of people. Your wife might like it.
She likes Dave Matthews. Yeah.
Aubrey will like it. It's a good song. Lots of people will like it.
Dave Matthews at the Gorge. That was a thing.
I'm definitely in the minority of.
Dave Matthews.
A little hate for Dave Matthews. Yeah. I think he's barefoot in this one too.
Yeah, I don't remember the video, but there's some really kind of cool jazzy solos. I think there's a flute. I think there's a jazz flute solo in this.
There's something. All right, Dave Matthews.
It was 98.
It's something.
I mean, come on, 98.
What does that have to do with
because it? I think 98, if you're talking, he was, that's like his heyday, right?
Yeah, and it's something.
There's a love song in that this would have been on a mixtape in 98.
Even for in 98, crush. I didn't like it. Yeah. So,
this is Dave Matthews. It's called Crush. Dave Matthews Band album Before These Crowded Streets. Here's some chart information for you. It's number 11 on the modern rock charts.
Mm.
Number 75 on the Billboard Hot 100. Number 38 on the top 40 mainstream. Number 20 on the adult top 40. The album version is over 8 minutes long. I knew you'd love that. It has a jazz flute solo. The song was almost omitted from Before These Crowded Streets as the band struggled with it in the studio until the bassist came up with the opening bass line. It's got a really cool bass line.
All right.
And that set the tone. Some lyrics. Crazy how it feels tonight. Crazy how you make it all right, love. You crush me with the things you do, and I do for you anything too. That's a great line. Lovely lady, I am at your feet. Oh God, I want you so badly. Lovely lady, let me drink you. Please, I won't spill a drop. No, I promise you. Lying under this spell you cast on me. Lovely lady, I will treat you sweetly, adore you. Well, I mean that you crush me. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's great.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Did you know those little conversation hearts you were talking at the beginning?
Yes.
They got their start as medical lozenges.
No.
Boston pharmacist invented a machine that simplified the way medical lozenges used for sore throats and other illnesses could be made. The result was America's first candy-making machine. Because the pharmacist soon started shifting his focus from making lozenges to candy instead. He founded the New England Confectionery Company.
Ooh, that's a hard word.
Nico.
Yeah. I know, though. I didn't like
Necco,
those.
Necco. And the candy lozenges soon became what we know today as Necco wafers.
They kind of taste like medicine.
Yeah. Did you also know? Necco went out of business in 2018 and sold Necco wafers to Sweethearts.
Yeah.
And Sweethearts to Spangler Candy. The creators of Dum Dum Lollipops. Due to the new manufacturing needs, Spangler Candy was unable to produce 8 million of the candy hearts for 2019. So in 2019, could not get the candy hearts.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
You know, I think they should make a box of those hearts that have an assortment of Dave Matthews and Bryan Adams suck. Just, I want hearts with that written on it. And by the way, those Necco candies, they had brown ones.
Yeah, they were gross.
Those were so unappealing. Like, what were they even supposed to taste like? Chocolate? I don't know. They were horrible. So
Never a fan. Was never a fan.
All right. Well, my number three, a sensual masterpiece. Yeah. By the way, my playlist is kicking all forms of ass today. And this one right here could have been number one, and you're going to love it.
Okay.
I already know. All Trust me. Everyone's going to love it.
Oh, dang. Yeah, well, this should be your number one. Your number one's got to be Killer.
It's good. Well, it's Killer to
me. Her greatest hits album was in my mixtape.
I mean, look at this. Listen to this.
Yeah, like 97, 98. This was.
Here it is, crescendo.
So good. This is your number one.
This is number three.
I don't care what you have at number one. This is your number one.
Well, it's my number three.
This playlist is good.
I know.
Even if you don't like Dave Matthews and.
I'm killing it. This is why it's my new favorite playlist. And yeah. I've still got, five more songs, six more songs or something that are just insane. So,
I like that.
All right. This is No Ordinary Love by Sade.
That might be one of my most favorite songs you've ever picked.
Wow.
It's really good. I really like that. I really like it too. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
How can you have a love song playlist without Sade, Rob? This was released in September of 1992 from the album Love Deluxe. The song was written by Sade Adu, but only peaked at number 28 on the U.S. Hot 100. I don't know what happened there. That's terrible. And by the way, here are some songs that landed above it, which should all not have landed above it. Walking on Broken Glass. We know my hate for that song. Two Michael Bolton songs.
Ugh.
Seven by Prince and the New Power Generation.
Ugh.
Don't need that one. And When She Cries by Restless Heart, which I had forgotten about, went and listened to it. It's crap. All right, so this was number one in the European radio charts and hit top 20 in 8 other countries, peaking at number 4 in Italy. In 2021, Rolling Stone included No Ordinary Love in their list of the 500 best songs of all time. Wow. You know who wasn't on that list? Walking on Broken Glass, 7, When She Cries, Michael Bolton. A writer for People magazine wrote the song is a baby-making slow jam that comes on like musical Viagra.
Wow.
That's
a really good
visual, right?
Well done, whoever wrote that.
This won a Grammy Award in 1994, beating out groups like Boyz II Men, In Vogue, and Tony, Tony, Tony. Finally, 2012, Complex placed it at number 43 of the best 90s R&B songs. Spin ranked it at number 15 on the list of the 30 best 90s R&B songs. And Pitchfork ranked it at number 42 of the 250 best songs of the 1990s.
Wow.
Besides being a highly praised song by critics, it's just a perfect kind of song for Valentine's Day.
I love it.
Or any other day.
Yeah.
I bet that's a lot of people's wedding song.
Oh, sure.
Thing like that.
You run that through our little rubric at the beginning. Does it avoid cliches? Absolutely.
Yes.
It's its own kind of thing. Does the song come across as authentic? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Does it have a theme? Uh-huh. Characters? Yes. And does it have perspective? It's great storytelling.
You didn't plug Doomy into that. I wanted Doomy to get plugged into the rubric. How do I do
You
on
know
that
what
one?
I remember about Sade is I mentioned her in an earlier. And yeah. I go, did you know her last name was Adu? And you said, I do now.
I do now.
That was really good. That was one of my favorite things. Anyway.
All right. So my number three.
Oh, that's really good.
All right.
Kind of wish I would have gotten that earlier. That was good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two.
My number two.
Yes. Really good.
It's good.
I love it. I like the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
Much better than Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
And the man we will not name, B.A.
No.
When everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am.
Yeah. Really great.
Rob Harvella, 60 Songs That Explain the 90s.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, he did an episode for this song.
Oh, nice.
Really good, really funny.
So this is Iris, Goo Goo Dolls, 98.
What was that? Dolls?
Google Dolls.
There you go.
Google Dolls?
Yeah.
Google Dolls. we've been drinking. This is the most acclaimed song on my list.
Ooh.
When you just look at pure accolades, this song is by far. So it's Goo Goo Dolls, originally written for the soundtrack 98, The City of Angels, included on the band's sixth album, Dizzy Up the Girl. It was released in April of 98. Considered a power ballad and the Goo Goo Dolls' signature song, it reached number one in Australia, Canada. Italy was number three in the UK, number nine on the US Billboard Hot 100. It was described as a ubiquitous staple for the band's live sets. When Johnny Resnick was asked about writing the song, he said, quote, I was thinking about the situation of the Nicolas Cage character in the movie. This guy is completely willing to give up of his own immortality just to be able to feel something very human. And I thought, wow, what an amazing thing it must be like to love someone so much that you give up everything to be with them. And that's a pretty heavy thought. Unquote. That's pretty good. 19th biggest selling single of all time in Ireland. It was nominated for Record of the Year. It was nominated for Record of the Year, lost to My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah.
It was nominated for pop performance by a duo or group. Lost to the Brian Setzer Orchestra with Jump, Jive, and Wail.
Boo again. Two for
it
boo.
It was nominated for Song of the Year. Lost to My Heart Will Go On. Duh. So they got kind of hammered.
Couldn't
there.
Beat that song. That
the Brian Setzer one, though. I know.
That's odd. That's an outlier. Yeah.
Certified.
Although that song was catchy.
I know.
They made a Gap commercial out of it. So I don't know.
So there you go. Yeah. Certified septuple platinum.
That's
ranked number 39 on the Rolling Stones list of the 100 greatest pop songs. Ranked number one on Billboard's top 100 pop songs from 92 to 2012. Mm. Some lyrics. And I'd give up forever to touch you because I know what you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be. And I don't want to go home right now because all I can taste is this moment. And all I can breathe is your life. So the sooner or later it's over, I just don't want to miss you tonight. That's good writing right there. Did you know that teachers get more Valentines than anyone else?
Oh,
that includes
sense.
Teachers. That includes any other group, including children, wives, and moms.
That makes sense.
So, yeah.
So I'll tell you, best thing to come out of that City of Angels movie, that song. Because that movie is awful.
Well, there was the Sarah McLachlan sad dog song.
You took a date to that movie, you said. That's a terrible movie to take a date to.
I know.
That is not a... getting anyone in the movie.
I took a date to the movie Powder.
Oh God.
Awful choice.
Nobody even paid to watch that movie.
Here's how much I remember that was it was that or Mallrats, and I chose Powder. Oh,
you chose poorly.
Wow.
Mallrats would have been so much better.
No.
What, like the back of a Volkswagen? So anyway, so that's your number two.
Yeah.
Now my number two is a great love song that, like Doomy, isn't subtle about what message it's sending to its listeners.
This is your number two?
Number two.
Right. That Sade song should have been. How? This is good.
I love this.
Here we go. The purpose is. Oh. Yep.
Yeah. I would guess another bunch of wedding songs. I love the harmonies in this.
I was a Boyz II Men fan. I love
them. I still am a Boyz II Men fan. Yep. You can give up if you want to.
Yeah.
Well, this is I'll Make Love to You by Boyz II Men.
Yeah.
I'm sure this song was in the background for a lot of lovers in the mid-90s. I'm not going to lie, Rob. This album and what you played earlier, Key Sweat, were my go-to for mood music back in the day for Valentine's Day and other days, too.
Okay.
I was sometimes romantic on non-Valentine's days.
Really?
Only with my wife, though.
Oh.
Okay. This was released off of their...
We just save it for the special days.
That's right. This was released off their highly successful second album, Two. It was number one for 14 weeks on the U.S. Hot 100. Number one also on the Adult Contemporary, Hot R&B Hip Hop, U.S. Mainstream Top 40, and U.S. Rhythmic Charts. Number one everywhere. It was huge overseas as well. Number one in Australia, Canada, the European Radio Chart, New Zealand, and our friends in Zimbabwe. It also hit top 10 in 11 other countries and was the number three best-selling single in the U.S. for all of 1994. This song won a Grammy and was nominated for Record of the Year, losing out to Sheryl Crow.
So, okay.
She was good. The song was written and produced by Babyface. Sounds like a Babyface song. Mm-hmm. And is labeled as a sweeping pop R&B ballad. The song also won two American Music Awards, and it ranks number 19 on Billboard's all-time top 100 songs. This just, to me, seems like a perfect song for this playlist, and one that definitely won't let you down on any holiday.
All right.
That's right.
Oh, I like it. Mm-hmm. That was good. Man, Sade, though. Come on, man. Sade.
You're just going to stew on that rest of the time? All right. Well, we've already set it off in the studio today with all these love songs and booty jams, but now it's time to send a rose to our favorite place we like to call. Hey, girl, get ready for this cut line. All right. That's not creepy at all. As you know, Rob.
That's my favorite cut line ever.
As you know, Rob and I find it impossible to select just seven songs each week. So for this segment, we'll each identify two more songs that just missed the cut and an honorable mention, which is a song we don't remember from the first time around or a song we didn't listen to a ton and have come to appreciate even more as we've gotten older and wiser, Rob. So with that, wherefore art thou, your first cut?
Ooh, I'm going to go with a little, I'm going to go total 180 from I'll Make Love to You.
Oh, okay.
This is a fun one.
Fun one.
I just want to dance with you.
All right. I love George Strait.
I do.
This one's a little hokey. But okay.
Around the floor.
As long as you like it.
That's what they intended dancing for.
I just don't feel like this puts a lady in that. Love you.
I don't know. I don't know. I think our respective wives.
You gotta get the right lady, I guess.
From the country gals.
He's got better love songs.
You got this song on the jukebox. You got a couple buds.
I'm just saying he's got better love songs. That's all I'm saying.
And you're on the dance floor.
But it's good. It's George. Yeah. You can't go wrong with George too often.
Got some tight Wranglers and you got some happy ladies.
There you go.
Anyway.
Tight Wranglers.
So this is I Just Want to Dance with You, George Strait, 1998, written by John Prine. And he recorded it 12 years earlier. It's his 34th number one single on the Billboard Hot Country Singles.
That's insane.
42nd number one single when all major trade charts are counted. Billboard magazine called it a, quote, tropical flavored little ditty, awash in delicate guitar work that is as tantalizing and refreshing as a summer breeze.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah. Some lyrics. I caught you looking at me when I looked at you. Yes, I did. Ain't that true? You won't get embarrassed by the things I do. I just want to dance with you. Oh, the boys are playing softly and the girls are too. So am I, and so are you. If this was a movie, we'd be right on cue. And I just want to dance with you. I want to dance with you. Twirl you all around the floor. That's what they intended dancing for. And I just want to dance with you. I want to dance with you. Hold you in my arms once more. That's what they invented dancing for. I just want to dance with you. Nice. There's the theme, right?
Yes.
He wants to dance with her.
He does.
He some characters.
Several times.
Did you know during the Victorian era, people who did not want attention would send vinegar valentines or penny dreadfuls?
Oh.
They were intended as an insult to unwanted admirers. Yeah. Did you ever get a valentine that smelled like vinegar?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
And you're like, hey, now I think back. It was a stinky Valentine.
Can imagine being in that honky tonk and some guy's like, hey, George, that new song you wrote, what's that song about? I don't know. Maybe it's about dancing. I'm not sure.
What's it about?
I didn't get it the first time. What's it about?
Can you run that back again?
Two cuts here are, I had some fun with them, but I love them. And my first one is my most thematic and sweeping song on this list.
Wow.
It's almost like a Broadway play in song. Mm-hmm. And this is the best part of the song right here. Just enjoy it. Do you hear that?
Wow. Rest in peace, Meatloaf. Wow.
Oh, so great.
But he won't do that. Then is it he won't turn back? Is that the thing he won't do? He's not going to leave.
I don't know. Maybe he'll tell you.
Wow.
Here we go. Sing.
He's good.
Yeah. Right here. The growl is good.
Oh, and then they get the lady coming in. That's right. Good. Okay.
All right. Well, this is I Do Anything for Love, parentheticals, but I won't do that, by the one and only Meatloaf. As you said, rest in peace. I absolutely love this song. The build is so epic in this song. I love it. It's fun to sing along to and was really difficult to leave out of my top seven. I just couldn't find a spot.
Yeah.
This may not be what people think of traditionally when making a love song playlist, but I think it's very emotional and awesome to be in the background when couples are getting a little hot and heavy. This was released in August of 1993 and was a beast, Rob. It went to number one in the US Hot 100 and 28 countries.
He was everywhere.
Including
I remember that.
Australia, Austria, mm-hmm. Belgium, Canada, Denmark, Germany, Iceland, Ireland, Lithuania, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, Switzerland, and the UK. So the whole world in 1993 was dining on Meatloaf, Rob. Mm. That's what was happening.
Wow. It was well done.
It was also the year-end number one single in Australia and the UK in 1993. The music video is a Beauty and the Beast reimagining directed by the one and only Michael Bay.
All right.
So it is quite the event. I love the duet at the end of the song. It features Lorraine Crosby, who is replaced in the video by a model named Dana Patrick. But her voice is perfect complement to Meatloaf, and the song earned him a Grammy Award for Best Rock Vocal Performance. Uh-huh. Solo beating out Bob Dylan,
Wow.
Peter Gabriel, Lenny Kravitz, and Sting. So apparently 1994 was a rebirth of old singers. I don't know what's happening there. So the age-old question, Rob, what exactly won't Meatloaf do for love?
Did you find out?
No. So he never actually answered the question.
Okay.
He kind of lets everybody have whatever they think their interpretation is. And he said he was asked lots of times. And by the time of his passing, he still had never actually answered the question. Guess he wants to leave it up to everybody to figure out on their own.
What was the Backstreet Boys that asked a similar question?
No, they didn't ask a similar question.
Yeah. They say something.
They said, I want it that way.
I want it that way.
That's not the same as I won't do that.
Okay. It's similar in the sense that we don't know.
You get to figure it out.
Well, I don't like that.
He's the Meatloaf. He lets you figure it out. I love that song.
That's a good song.
And that build in the middle. Go watch the video.
That's good.
The video's great too, folks.
Oh, I have a video coming up that we're going to talk about.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, you used the, I think you said like non-traditional.
Yes.
Okay. This is my non-traditional cut. All right.
Let's do it.
Brown sugar bag. I guess high up in love.
I've heard this.
Yeah.
Brown sugar.
Yeah.
Right? D'Angelo?
Yeah. Hey. Good job.
So I've heard it.
Yeah.
I didn't use it a lot, but I understand the appeal listening to it.
I do.
It's definitely a booty jam.
It is. But it...
No, it is. Listen to that.
But I'm going to tell you why here in a minute. Oh, yeah.
He's singing about brown sugar.
I know. Here we go, though.
Again, no subtleties. Okay.
So this is D'Angelo, 1995, Brown Sugar. It's from his debut album that is really, really good. I like it. Released as the album's lead single, written and produced by D'Angelo. It was number 86 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1995. It was number 5 on the Billboard Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs. Here's where it gets different.
Uh-oh.
I put it as a cut because it hits the non-traditional button because it's been misinterpreted.
Oh, okay.
As a traditional love song.
All right.
About a femme fatale. It's what they wrote.
Oh, okay.
I just read what I'm told.
I like the dramaticism you gave to it, though.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Brown sugar is an ode to marijuana.
Oh, okay.
But
he still loves something.
He uses personification of a brown-skinned woman.
Yeah.
Music journalist Peter Shapiro wrote of the song's lyrical content, stating, quote, D'Angelo was extolling the pleasures of a pot-fueled... what is a syllabism?
Sure.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. Always down for a menage a trois, but I think I'm going to hit it solo.
Ooh.
And I hope my, I don't think I should say that.
No, okay.
It's with a Z, but anyway. And intimidating that love, or at least love of the herb, leads to insanity. And so then he says, brown sugar, babe, I gets high off your love, don't know how to behave. And then earlier in the song, he talks about his eyes are a shade of bright burgundy.
Nice.
Right? So he's talking about, Anne Powers from Spin described it as softcore. Remarking that songs like Brown Sugar get serious with soul's erotic undercurrents, reaching for the exquisite tension of early Prince and late Marvin Gaye.
Is this that video where he's all ripped up with no shirt on?
No, that was later. That came later. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Did you know that Oregon and Arizona, so Oregon in 1859 and Arizona in 1912 became states on Valentine's Day?
Oh, nice.
And Alexander Graham Bell submitted documents to the patent office for the telephone on February 14th, 1876.
Ooh, lovely.
And it was granted March 7th of 1876. So Valentine's Day was when the phone...
Not as significant, though. March 7th. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
So that's good.
Submitted it on Valentine's Day.
That's good. I did not like that song. So,
yeah.
Man, we're at my second cut already, which means my list is coming to an end. I'm getting sad now. But my second cut is the most unique song on my list.
Mm.
And another one that was really hard to leave off the top seven. I had a lot of problems not being able to do my top seven. I needed 10 to 12 songs, but this song...
You picked seven. That was you.
Yes. So this song, very memorable and very awesome.
Oh, come on, dude. Like Enya or something.
It's not Enya.
No, who is this stupid song?
It's not stupid. It's great.
It sounds like something in French or something. Oh, come on.
This is fantastic. You're out of your mind.
You're telling me. You're telling me. In a moment of intimacy, you're putting this song on? Just a minute while I put it in my 6-disc CD changer.
Well, maybe I'll change your mind here in a minute. So
that's dumb.
This is.
That's your worst pick today.
Sadness.
Sodness.
Well, there's an E in the middle, and I'll tell you why. Parentheticals, part one by Enigma.
Enigma.
There you go.
Enigma. I think we did that before. We got them mixed up.
Well, because you played that crappy Enya song on our worst.
And you said Enigma. Yes, we did it. We did it again.
This is it. Nice. Enigma is a German musical project.
Yeah.
And this song was released in October of 1990. Who would have thought in 1990 a song with French lyrics and Gregorian vocals by the German choir would become a top hit on the Billboard charts? This was number 5 on the U.S. Hot 100, number 1 in 15 other countries to include France. Uh-huh. The single has sold more than 5 million copies worldwide, went gold in Australia, Austria, France, the Netherlands, the U.S., and earned platinum status in Germany and Sweden. The song is about questioning the sexual desires of the Marquis de Sade, S-A-D-E, sadness. There you go. Hence, the name of the song is actually sadness, not the English word of sadness. Wow. So that was cleared up by Enigma themselves. Okay. It has been featured in the movies Single White Female and Tropic Thunder, and it has been described as an incessant trance. The Irish Evening Herald called it one of the most seductive dance records. It was also said that the listeners may have no idea what the song is saying, but it creates a unique mood. And one other review said it is an ambient fantasia that made the heart throb and the mind tingle. I put this on my list because to my face, women telling me this was a sexy, sensual song that created a perfect mood.
Oh my gosh.
I went and did some deep dives. Yeah. I saw things online to include Reddit, and I saw one Reddit post that said, if you weren't having sex to this song and album in the early 90s, what even were you doing? I also saw that it was the best song to have sex to be released in the 90s. So there you go.
This was playing in like a candle store in the 90s.
Oh, it could have been in that candle store, but it was also in some bedrooms.
Here's the thing I know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hate it. And all of your cronies are going to get online and
people
go.
People are going to like this song.
I made babies to this
I'm telling you. You are really on the wrong side of the fence on this one. People love it.
That's garbage.
And I will stand
you
by it.
You wasted that.
You know, I think even some Robsters will be like, hey, you're our glorious leader, but you're a little off center on that one. Because that's a great song. They'll have no problem
agreeing
with me with Brian Adams
Matthews. The Robsters were destined to fail from the beginning with this guy at the helm.
They're great. But, you got
we don't follow the rules.
You've got a good following out there, but definitely you are on the wrong side of the fence on this, Rob.
All right. Is it my honorable mention?
It is honorable mention time.
Ooh, I was too busy talking, and I didn't prepare.
Well, this is a podcast. We do talk.
Yeah. That's what we like to do. This is my most
crazy
inappropriate song.
Oh, I like it.
It's my most booty jam song.
I like it already.
It's one of those ones that there's really no, I mean, there's no, anyway.
Just play it. There you go. Ooh, I like the, I want to be on you. I always like those late 90s. Yeah. Is that Butzer? Who is that? This is a letter.
Yeah.
He's giving off some DJ Khaled vibes in this one.
Oh, yeah. There
he
goes. Hit you right in your liver. Right?
Oh. The deep stroke.
Yeah. So here we go. So this is What's It Gonna Be? By Busta Rhymes and Janet Jackson, 1999.
Nice. Oh, that's a good one.
Released in March of 99, co-written by Busta Rhymes. The song was a commercial and critical success. Some chart success. It had number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100, top 10 of various countries, number 1 on the Billboard Hot Rap Tracks, number 1 on the Hot R&B Hip Hop Singles and Tracks chart, certified gold, nominated for a Grammy Award for the best rap performance by a duo or a group at the 2000 Grammy Awards. It was up against Maria Maria by Santana.
Ooh, that's a good song.
I Want It That Way, the Backstreet Boys.
Great.
Kiss Me, Sixpence None the Richer.
Good one.
All Star, Smash Mouth.
Okay.
And Unpretty by TLC. And it lost to Maria Maria.
That's valid.
There you go. I got that. The music video received 4 MTV Video Music Awards nominations at the 1999 MTV Video Music Awards. The video contains frequent sexual... Okay, we're going to talk about the video here. Okay, let's just go... let's just talk about the video.
Okay.
So, I watched the video.
Oh, good for you.
Okay, so here's my... here's the pitch.
Okay.
This is how I think it went down.
Yes.
So, you got Janet Jackson. You got Busta. Janet and Busta. Okay, we're going to pitch the video. Here you go.
Yes.
All right, we want to be honest. The video is going to contain some frequent sexual innuendos. Visually, the video is going to be based on the song's lyrical themes, portraying imagery alluding to wet dreams and stimulated wetness. Ooh. Now, Janet, you're going to appear in a liquid tunnel. Busta, you're going to morph into a sperm-like creature and float towards her. Meanwhile, a marching band of miniature yous, Busta, is going to pass through the tunnel's walls as you, Busta, will transform into one of the miniature yous before morphing again to rise through the tunnel's ceiling. Electric sparks will fly as miniature versions of you, Busta, will pour like raindrops onto Janet's breastal area. Towards the finale, both of you will be united as your bodies rub up against each other. The remaining scenery will then combust as you both continue transforming into a silver liquid. The video will end with a catchy song playing on the speakers in the background. Busta, we thought we'd use your song Hot Shit Making You Bounce. What do you think?
Great.
And they were like,
Sell it.
Let's do it, right?
It's subtle.
Yeah, yeah. Janet declares she's, one, going to make your body wet.
I like it.
She's going to make your body scream again. She's going to make you think of naughty things like me on you and you on me. She's going to make your body cream.
I like it.
And she's going to make you have wet dreams.
Good.
Yeah.
She's 5 for 5.
There you go. Did you know the red heart was one of the most used emojis in 2023? The red heart is a classic emoji. And in 2023, it was up there with crying with laughter and rolling on the floor.
Oh.
Those are the top three emojis.
Good.
There you go.
I just wanted to check on your anatomical correctness there. Breastal area, is that something we learned as children? Yeah.
Or that was the chestal area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying
very specific. Yeah. Chestal. Chestal and breastal. I don't know that I've heard chesticles. Those a lot.
The chesticles?
So, yeah. Mm. So that's a good one. Not subtle. Well, my honorable mention has the most different vibe of any other song on my list, and it's just a lot of fun. Monday you can hold your
head. Tuesday, Wednesday, stay in bed. Oh, that's a good one. Shot is your number one. That'd be cool if Sade was your number one and your number five. Like, you're like, it was so good.
Can you do that?
Yeah. I like it. Ooh, that's really good.
Who doesn't like The Cure? They're great. All right. Well, this is Friday. I'm in Love by The Cure. This is my honorable mention because I was not a huge Cure fan in the early 90s, but once I found this song a few years later, I liked it. I've listened to it ever since then. It's a fun love song that makes you feel good. Released in May of 1992, listed as a jangle pop and alternative rock song. It hit number one on the Billboard Alternative Airplay chart, number 18 on the U.S. Hot 100, top 10 in 5 other countries, hitting number 3 in Canada at its peak. The song has been certified 2 times platinum in the U.K. and was the 71st most popular single on the U.S. Billboard charts for all of 1992. Robert Smith has said, this is a toss your hands in the air, happy type of pop love song. So that's his description.
Yeah.
For me, this is just one of the most sing-alongable songs of the 90s. I like that, sing-alongable. Yeah. And again, it's not sexy or a booty jam per se by any means, but for our 90s goth listeners, this was probably a good love song.
Oh, yeah.
To break up the melancholy and disdain of all those other goth music musicians floating around in the early 90s.
Yeah.
This gave them something a little more happy to sing along to.
I like it.
Yeah. You know, they're in the black. It's a little dark.
Yeah.
This gives them just a little daylight right here. So,
yeah.
So I've gotten booty jams. I've gotten rock songs. I've gotten sensual love songs. I now have some goth. So as I said,
you did good.
I've got something for everybody on this
eclectic
list from the early 90s.
Very
and we eclectic. Still don't even have my number one.
Yeah. I'm curious.
I'm going to love. And all you're going to love. You're not going to love, but I'm going to love. So, but let's start with your number one and see if I love that at all. So.
You're probably not, I like it. I think it has all the things that a good love song, a classic love song should be.
Does it meet the rubric?
I do. I think it avoids cliches. It's authentic. It's got a theme. It's got characters, perspective.
I like cliches.
Yeah. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Really good.
I like it.
This is the counting song?
Yeah, it is the counting.
One.
Yeah. In case you're like, okay, wait, what comes after? One. Yeah.
Yeah. It's educational, too.
Yeah, you're learning stuff.
I think my wife likes this song. I think a story came about listening to Brian McKnight in this one.
And this would be like a wedding song. It's probably a wedding song.
Good.
Yeah. He's going to start counting.
Listen to him. One, you're like a dream come true. Yeah. Two.
He's going to start counting. Here we go.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good counter. One of the best counters in R&B. In a song. I don't know don't know who else is counting a lot, and then, but
and Brian. Then he brings it back to one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four repeat steps.
One, two, three. Okay.
And then, it's very instruction.
Here we go. Here it goes. Work is done. I start back at one.
You know, he's got to do a lot of work. No. Like, this is a constant process now. Like, you're never going to get over it. Because you get to the end and they're like, I got to start over again.
It's a perpetual.
I made her love me. I got to start over again. Like, it is a never ending giving of love. Like, I need a break.
And then is there ever a time where he goes, okay, I'm done with this. I don't even love it anymore. No, I'm out.
The ladies play the song.
They're coming back to one.
They're like, Brian, you got to go back to one. Start again, please. I'm sitting right here. Do it.
Like, I don't want to go back to one. Do we ever make it to six?
You said it. I don't know. Nobody put a gun to your head. Yeah. You made the countdown.
Okay. All right. This is Back at One, Brian McKnight, 1999, written and performed by Brian McKnight. One of McKnight's biggest commercial successes. It peaked at number two for 8 weeks, but was kept off the top spot by Smooth by Santana.
Very good.
Covered by country music singer Mark Wills in 2000.
No, thank you.
Some lyrics. It's undeniable that we should be together. If you don't know just how I feel, then let me show you now that I'm for real. If all things in time, time will reveal. One, you're like a dream come true. Two, just want to be with you. Three, girl, it's plain to see that you're the only one for me. And four, repeat steps one through three. Five, make you fall in love with me. If ever I believe my work is done, then I'll start back at one. There you go. Did you know that the term wear your heart on your sleeve derives from a Middle Age custom in which jousting knights wore the colors of the ladies they were supporting on their sleeves? The expression is first recorded in Shakespeare's Othello in 1604.
I also learned that in the fantastic Heath Ledger movie, A Knight's Tale.
Oh, I don't know. Fantastic is...
I love that movie. Oh, von Lichtenstein.
They've got like rock music going.
Yeah, I love it.
They've got like Queen music playing.
I love that movie.
Oh, yeah. Because
again, they're going to come for you on this. People love Knight's Tale. No, I promise you.
Awful movie.
All right. Anyway. Well, my number one song.
Okay, I want to hear it.
Is an ode to the luckiest prostitute of the 1990s. Huh? My favorite song. This is my favorite love song of the 90s. I like Sade. I liked all the other ones you said.
I should have guessed it.
How good is this? Come on. Fan?
Roxette.
There you go. Do you hear her voice?
This is when she was at her prime,
the peak.
Okay.
How catchy
I will
is this?
Tell you though, your pick to not put Sade here is
valid.
I think you should be disappointed.
I like this
more. I like this song, but I think they should have swapped.
I like this song more than the Sade song.
That's fine.
That's why I picked it.
That's fine.
All right. Well, I've got a lot of information on this one. I went Rob on this one here.
Because you like Roxette.
So this
you
is like them. It Must Have Been Love by Roxette. This song was originally released in 1987 in Sweden only and was called It Must Have Been Love, parentheticals, Christmas for the Brokenhearted. It was a Christmas song, Rob. I watched a little documentary on Roxette. Okay. The guitarist and male singer of Roxette, Per Gessle, wrote it because they were trying to get on the radio in Germany. So they told him to write a Christmas song because it'd be easier to get on the radio in Germany. Despite being a huge hit in Sweden, Germany decided they didn't want to play it. So basically he forgot about the song. They shelved it. Then in 1989, they were asked to do a song for a movie called $3,000.
Oh, yeah.
Later changed to Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
Per said he didn't have time to write a new song with all the touring and everything they were doing, but he had this old Christmas song just kind of sitting there, and he said he could change the lyrics a little bit. All he changed was in the middle of there, she says, it's a hard Christmas day. He changed that to, it's a hard winter's day. That's literally what he did. And they loved it. Like the studio loved it. They thought it was fantastic. In fact, Gary Marshall, director of the movie, loved it so much. He called Per himself to tell him, I'm giving it a prominent place in the movie with no dialogue. And that I think it sets the entire tone of the scene and mood of the movie. Wow. That's how much Gary Marshall loved the song. The song went to number one on the US Hot 100, number one in Australia, Canada, Denmark, Norway, Spain, Switzerland, and Zimbabwe. It was the second best single on the U.S. Billboard for all of 1990 and has sold over 2 million copies worldwide. Critics described it as a rhythmic ballad, A Masterpiece of Pain seems to have an ABBA influence in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. In someone like Celine Dion's hands, this would be a complete disaster. But the Swedish duo nail it perfectly. And it's a timeless power ballad that has aged like a fine wine. As of February 2024, it has over 750 million views on YouTube. And Rob, little trivia for you. In 1990, I stated it was the second best-selling single of the year. What song beat it out for number one?
Oh, wow. What year?
Get your button ready.
What?
1990.
I don't know.
Take a guess. You do this to me all the time.
Rope in the Wind.
Rope in the Wind. Nope, that was not it, Rob. So in fact, another great song, Hold On by one Wilson Phillips.
Oh.
That was number one.
What?
Roxette was number two.
See, I do disagree with that. Well, your song's better.
They're both good. Yeah. So,
hey, you know how I know you like this song?
How much?
Because you talked about it for 20 minutes.
That's right. You've been holding on to that for a year. That's right.
Hey.
I'm usually quick and to the point, but I had a little, I watched two documentaries. Wow. I saw it all. I found it fascinating. It used to be a Christmas song. Yeah, it's good. And it's great. This is one of those I turn up in the car. I love when she hits that crescendo and her voice, it's perfect. It's a perfect song.
A Roxette documentary is not one that like strikes me as like, that would be that you found really that, good. That there is one.
There is. I found it on the YouTube and the guy's the one giving Per Gessle, the guitarist he's talking about. There's also one on The Look. There's also one on Joyride. So I've watched several Roxette things now. So I've done a good Roxette deep dive.
You have.
And I'm very happy about it. So
you have.
One of these days I'm going to tell you about The Look deep dive I went on because there's a lot of good information. But you don't need that.
That makes
today,
a list one day.
All right. Well, this is a great list for everyone this upcoming Valentine's Day. Something you can play for that certain someone on this most romantic of days. And for those that hate Valentine's Day, this playlist still kicks ass. So grab a drink, sit back and just enjoy, have a good time. And I think you're going to like it.
Yeah.
So real quick, Rob, we have gotten some great feedback lately. We received an email from a person named Justin. He's a new fan of the show.
Yeah.
So thanks for finding us, Justin. Yeah. He said he's loving the show. He's catching up on episodes. Mm-hmm. He thinks we're doing a great job. We got some feedback on Facebook from William, Steve, Modesto, and friend of the show, Dustin. They've commented on several of our latest episodes. They definitely agree with me about Neil Young. I saw that on there. but you also got some support from our friends at Pop Culture Yearbook as they loved your choices of the Sundays and the Brand New Heavies on our 92 albums draft.
All right.
Finally, on Instagram, not everyone agreed with all of our bad songs from 87 to 89, particularly Groovy Kind of Love. I got a little backlash on that one there, but they still loved the episode. They thought it was funny. Yeah. They thought we were doing a great job. So I'm sure I've missed some of you that have commented. We try to comment back. I try to message everyone, but thanks so much to everyone for the support, hearing from you, the listeners. And that you enjoy the show. And what Rob and I are doing so much every week is why we do it.
Yeah.
So keep those coming in. You know, I love it. It's great.
True
so this is what we do it for, these kinds of responses. So
true statement.
True.
We do love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my turn.
Do you want it to be your turn?
I don't.
Do you have anything? Well, real quick, if you'd like to contact Rob and I, let me get this out of the way because Rob's going to have a little presentation for us.
No,
if you'd like to contact Rob and I, which we always look forward to, you can find us on all the social media sites, as we just mentioned, from Facebook to X, Instagram, and YouTube, to which we've provided links in the show notes. But as always, you can just Google Totally 80s and 90s Recall, and I promise you're going to find us out there in the interwebs. We'll have lots of things to show you.
That's right. You can also find us at our website, totally80s90s recall@podbean.com. And finally, feel free to email us at 80s90s recall@gmail.com, where you can ask questions about current or previous episodes, suggest future show ideas, or just say hi. We look forward to hearing from you and all our listeners worldwide.
Worldwide.
All over.
Finally, if you find yourself on Apple or Spotify, we'd appreciate a quick 5 stars, a review. We like to read those. I promise we are worthy of those reviews. It'll greatly help the show grow on those sites and inch Rob and I even closer to being the famous people we should be. Also, we'd like to throw out a happy Valentine's Day to our wives, friends, and fellow podcasters from Smoking Sounds, Pop Culture Yearbook, Children of the 80s, and Bad Movies Rule. We hope you all have a great holiday.
Oh, that's nice.
There you go.
You are thoughtful.
Yeah, sometimes.
I take that back. All right. Anything I've ever said about
it. You got any closing thoughts?
I do. So The Current, a Minnesota-based radio station, asked Minnesota-based songwriter Nerd D, N-U-R hyphen D.
Yeah.
Nerd D, about the power of the love song. And here's what he had to say. This is probably the most cliche thing in the world to say, but love is one of the most powerful and wonderful things we have in the world. Everyone wants it. Everyone is searching for it. And when they find it, Even if it's just for a small time, they are never the same after. With music being one of the most incredible forms of expression we have, what else are we going to talk about? So often we use music to give voice to the indescribable, and there are a few things that give us those feelings, both positive and negative, like love. Whether you are in love, out of love, or not sure, nobody needs to have it explained to them. Love is the great connection we all share in some form or another, and so making music about it is tapping into that great big pool of common understanding. Unquote. And I will add to Nerdy's assessment on love and end with a friend's definition of love. He says, quote, love is the demonstrated preference for the well-being of others over and above myself, even at great personal expense.
There you go.
And I said, imagine if we all did that. If we all demonstrated a preference for the well-being of others over and above our own, even at great personal expense. And I thought, that would be a great place to live if we all did that.
We would love
each other.
Very philosophical today.
There you go.
Left us with a good ending there.
There you go.
So, well, that unfortunately brings us romantic throwback to the 90s to an end. I'm disappointed. We hope you've enjoyed reliving our favorite and perhaps your favorite love songs of the 1990s, and I'm right about Enigma. If you like today's musical choices, and who wouldn't, we have provided links to Spotify, Apple, and Amazon playlists in the show notes. That was a weird pause. So you can really experience all of these great songs in full. Finally, we'd like to thank all of our listeners, whether first timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob and I. We hope you have a great Valentine's Day, and hopefully we were able to give you an hour or so of some laughs. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday. And we apologize for Bryan Adams. We've done that on many occasions.
I think you owe people. That Enigma is dumb. Anyway, hey, what are we doing next time?
The Movie Hound's going to be back in the studio. Oh. It feels like it's been a spell.
We have not seen him for a while.
Had him. Yeah, he's been super busy. He's so popular, we can't get a hold of him, folks. But we're going to do a movie draft. You know, we've done it with albums. We're going to draft movies. And we have the top 30 movies from 1989, and we're going to draft our favorite seven movies each. Oh. We're going to go through the whole spiel. We're going to do it, and it's going to be fun. So you have to put on your thinking cap, Rob. Go back a little bit. And so I provided.
Well, we know what happened last time we drafted.
Well, no, I provided a list of 30 movies for you to select from.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Oh.
You don't get to wander off at least
once
on
a year.
One.
You got to let me wander.
I already gave it to
once
you.
Once a year.
You got
so
it.
That's my year.
Next year. I'll give you another opportunity to unwow the crowd at some point.
All right. So, okay.
Well, you got anything else?
I got nothing.
Fancy goodbye.
No fancy goodbye.
No fancy goodbye. Breasticles. Or
breasticles?
Chesticles?
No.
Breasticles.